Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. We're in the second in a series that we're doing on participation. And we started this series by reading an article on non-participation and the decentralization as primers for revolution. Sounds like an exciting article. It actually appears on Alt Market, and you can find a link to it at preparingyou.com, and you simply look up non-participation. And you'll find the article. Just use the search engine. You'll find the article there at Preparing You. And if you're already on the network, we'll send you a link pretty soon. And eventually we'll have audios that explain all of what this fellow is talking about. His name is Brandon Smith, and he wrote this back in February 12th of 2014. So it's fairly recent to this program. And you can go see it there. It has a picture of sheep and a lot of white-faced sheep recently shorn and a black-faced sheep sitting right in the middle of it. And evidently he's a non-participator. But if you go to our website, you'll see, you can click on that picture or the link there at the beginning of our article so you can see this. And we make a response in relationship to that. And that may change a little bit over the time. One of the points that I make in this reference is the problem is not Big Brother. The problem is your sugar daddy. It's who your daddy is. It's not Big Brother. And you can do something about that because the problem is you. You've made this state your father, and you've done this in France and England and Canada and Venezuela and Australia. It's a common problem that man has been doing throughout the ages, and it brings about a certain nature of society that is not good for you. It's going to bring about men who exercise authority, who take and take and take and take. And there's an interesting picture that has hung on my wall for decades now that's you'll see in that same article, and I'll just keep you in suspense. So you have to go to the article to find out what it is, but it's a picture that's always hung on my wall. Still there, up on the cupboard, even though the office has changed over a period of time, we bring the picture to put it up there because it's where we're at. The only problem is only one creature in the picture that represents me, and I would like to see a few others alongside once in a while. Kind of like a story of Jimmy Stewart, when he was a fighter pilot, actually was a fighter pilot in World War II, and he was flying one of these big bombers, and he was going along, and they have machine gunners, you know, and turrets in the back, and they were being strafed by German fighter pilots who were shooting at them, and he was not hearing the guns in the back of the plane going off and firing back at the enemy, and the story goes that Jimmy Stewart got on his little radio comm to talk to the guys in the back of the ship, and he said, I'd like to hear a little bit more noise back there, because he wasn't hearing them shooting. They had some problem with the gun jamming, and they eventually got it done, and they got back, because we saw lots of movies by Jimmy Stewart playing heroes after he got back and the war was over. But he actually was a real honest-to-goodness bomber pilot in World War II. You could just hear Jimmy Stewart stuttering comeback, that he'd like to hear a little bit more noise back there. And that's kind of what I'd like to hear, is a little bit more noise out there of other people repenting and turning around and trying to go the other way. And if you go to the preparingyou.com and look up the article non-participation, you will get to see that if you pan down. And you'll know what picture I'm talking about. But anyway, we're talking about this article, and we were going through it little bit by little bit and see if we can make some sense out of the kingdom of God by looking at the opinions of men about the kingdoms of the world. And that's the only reason we're interested in the kingdoms of the world, is because they point to a relationship we have with one another. Because most of the relationship you have with your neighbor is through government. It's not through loving one another and actually being there that you are. Most of what you do that affects your neighbor is because you've elected government. Because the government is into every aspect of everybody's life, including your own, which is the result of choices you have made. Although not always. I mean, sometimes it was choices your parents have made. But you don't get to choose your parents. And if your parents have sold you into an indentured servitude, they've sold you into an indentured servitude. And there's nothing you can do about that. Now, there is something you can do about being in indentured servitude and being a surety for debt and being a human resource, is stop making other people a human resource for you. That's right. Forgive them the debts that you are paying. When you give sacrifices to the gods which you have chosen for yourself, which is something that Samuel talks about when they were electing men to rule over them, like Saul, you're told that the men that you have chosen for yourselves, the gods which you have chosen for yourself, you're going to cry out, and God's not going to hear you. But he will hear you if you start hearing the cries of others and start repenting of that way and start taking back your responsibilities, not just to save yourself, but to do it like Christ, in the ways of Christ, to do it to save others. You see, that's why Jimmy Stewart would say, you know, I'd like to hear a little bit more noise back there. Is he's not trying to boss anybody around. He's not trying to rule over anybody. He'd like to be saved, but he wants everybody on board to be saved. Why do you think he ended up being the captain? Because he had that attitude. Now, you know who people elect to be captains? Rulers over them? They don't have as good a choice. But who they choose is a direct result of who they are. And you as a people get the leaders you deserve. But you get rulers because you want rulers, because you want to rule over your neighbor. You want him to give you an answer, just like this question at the beginning of this series in session one. The question was, when are you going to tell us what the solution is? When are you going to do something about it for yourself? And this is what my message is to you. Because we don't really call this series non-participation. We call this series participation because we know what the solution is. And you have to start participating in the solution. You have to start making a little noise out there yourself. And you're not doing that. You have to start gathering together with others and making a little noise. You know, start strafing the lie. Start pointing the lie out. Start exposing the lie to the light of truth. And start taking care of one another with faith, hope, and charity and love for one another. You may still have to be receiving the benefits of the Father in Washington, D.C. But you have to start seeking the solution. And that's what you have to do. So anyway, to read on in his article of non-participation, he says, they want civil rights, style milk, Gandhi, march on Washington, D.C. Now, when I say milk there, I guess that's Martin Luther King, MLK, Gandhi, march on Washington, D.C., which has already been done over and over again, leading to nothing. But ever more corruption. You don't ask tyrants to police themselves, nor do you ask for their permission to change government. They want an armed march on Washington, D.C., perhaps the most tactically moronic strategy ever to be suggested year after year. And I hear people actually suggesting that kind of nonsense. that you're going to violently overthrow the government. Nothing could be farther from wisdom. That's not what Christ said. Christ was a revolutionary. And he didn't talk about overthrowing Caesar. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and suffer the pain of the fact that you owe Caesar so much. You deserve the whip of the lash and the whip of scorpion. Remember, that's what Rehoboam said when the people asked for, there must have been a march on Jerusalem. They had a march on Jerusalem that said, give us back our freedom. And he said, oh, I'll think about it. You guys all go home and I'll think about it. And he came back and he says, well, you know, my father whipped you with whips, you know, put heavy burdens on you, that kind of thing, you know, compelled you to pay in. Of course, that all that was predicted by Samuel, said this is what was going to happen. He's going to take and take and take and take and take. And everybody's so surprised that he takes and takes and takes and takes and takes and takes and takes. I think there's about 7 or 8 takes in that section, quoted by Thomas Paine in Common Sense, which you don't read in school anymore because you go to public school. You don't even know why there was an American Revolution. You don't even know what the American Revolution was really all about. You think it was about taxation without representation. Where was that ever written? It's not in the Declaration of Independence. I don't know how many people say, oh, well, that's in the Declaration of Independence. No, it's not. That's not what they say. Where'd you get that? Did you ever read the darn thing? You don't even know why they were able to write that. They were able to write that because they had spent the last 200 years taking back their responsibilities. You spent the last 200 years giving up your responsibilities. You don't have any right to write a Declaration of Independence. You're not free men. You're back in the bondage of Egypt. You haven't been responsible for decades. You're not going to get freedom that quick and that easy. So anyway, they had a march on Jerusalem and said to Rehoboam they wanted their freedom back. And he came back finally several days later saying, hey, my father whipped you with whips. I'm going to whip you with scorpions. I'm going to raise taxes. I'm going to oppress you even more. And a large group of them said, what is David to us? And they left the kingdom. They became the lost sheep. And they fought amongst each other. You know, kind of like a patriot meeting. Fighting amongst each other. The simplest solution, you have to change. You have to repent. You have to turn around. And Christ came and told you this. And it's the same speech that Moses was giving to the people when he found them in bondage in Egypt. Yeah, he wanted to let my people go, but he wanted them to do the free will sacrifices to take care of their society by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, because you loved your neighbor as yourself. And you didn't oppress the even the stranger in your midst, much less your neighbor, like you guys do in your socialist state, getting your free public school education at the expense of your neighbor. I just can't tone down to give you milk. You guys are bloated with milk. And I'm not going to slice it so thin you think it's cheese either. This is what you have to do. Anyway, so he goes on to say in his article, they want an armed march on Washington, D.C., perhaps the most tactical, moronic strategy ever to be suggested year after year, leading to nothing more than a bloodbath, which would only make the liberty movement appear weak and or insane, all in a failed attempt to unseat a bunch of politicians who were merely puppets of middlemen for a financial elite. They want generals grandstanding as purveyors of constitutionalism to initiate a military coup to remove the evil Muslims from the seat of power. And he goes on to talk about Obama, but I won't say anything bad about the guy because I think he's a victim of the sloth of the people. Or atheists, communists, or he goes on, this is all in parentheses. And so I won't even read all that. But anyway, you have to go to the article and read it. And again, I'll repeat where the article is so that you can go find it, but it's at the Alt Market, Society, alt-market.com, and just look up Brandon Smith, non-participation, and you can probably find the article, and you'll find a link to it at preparingyou.com. But anyway, I'll skip down because I don't want to say anything bad about leaders, because it's not their fault. It's your fault. That's my message to you. That's my opinion. So you can take it for what it's worth. But, I mean, it's good news to know it's your fault, because you can do something about you. You can't do anything about them. Oh, you can shake your hand and you can complain and you can boast and you can, you know, be a braggart about, you know, what you would tell them if you were invited to the White House. I always remembered in a local bar nearby, not nearby, but, you know, 30 some miles away or almost 40 miles away. The only bar near here, really. Somebody was complaining about a president. I don't know which one it was at that time. It was way back. It may have been before Reagan. And is when they still had a phone booth out in front of the bar, when before everybody had cell phones. And the guy was just ranting and raving in there while he was drinking too much about how, you know, the president was this and the president was this and that. And finally he goes out about 1 o'clock and he gets on the phone and he tries to call Washington, D.C. on the payphone, shoving quarters in. And he says he wanted to give the president a piece of his mind. He couldn't remember what he had said or anything, but it was like a day later, the Secret Service showed up at this little bar. I mean, this is an old bar. I mean, it's a wooden floor bar that was made 100 years ago. Well, the bar itself came around the horn on sailing ships and was carried by wagons over the mountains to build this bar, which has been in that little town for a century. And the building, you know, they just keep patching onto it. It's all board bat building, but it's still there. And so anyway, it had this little phone booth out. I don't think it has one there anymore. But, and he went out there and he called to complain about the president, like that's going to do some good. Well, it got Secret Service to come to see our small town. So, looking for this guy, and of course everybody probably knew who it was. I don't actually remember who it was, but bad idea. And completely fruitless. A waste of time, a waste of quarters. So, but you could do something about yourself. Because you're right there. You're, no matter where you go, there you are. And that's where the steps have to start, is with you. And then you have to walk with others in a free assembly that actually begins to do what Christ said, what Moses said, what Abraham said. Love your neighbor as yourself. Stop praying to the men of the earth to exercise authority to guarantee your security. Because if you do, you will have none. But anyway, he says, and most of all, they want something flashy, something new, something technological and glorious to solve all their woes. How many times have you heard the claim, for instance, that digital currency like Bitcoin would bring down the central banks and turn the globalist empire to dust at our feet? Yet Bitcoin's very existence relies on the web, a government-dominated network system which they can remove from our hands anytime they wish. Now, the solution has to be way more grassroots, way more fundamental. And I'm just reading what this fellow's opinions are and then adding my own opinions. And I hope you can tell when I'm reading and not. And like I said, I've showed you where his article is so you can go and follow along. These are not solutions. They are distractions, or worse, con games. They are designed to fool you into thinking that you can lounge behind your computer and walk blindly down the street with a sign or a gun, and the nation will attain renaissance without a tear or a drop of blood shed. They are pleasant lies that many people want to have whispered to them. Well, to tell you the truth, you ought to just go to church and listen to the lies they have to tell you there, because you'll less likely get shot right off. I mean, you're still going to face the problem. You can stick your head in the sand as much as you want. And there's plenty of churches out there that have a sandbox up there to stick your head in. But you would be less likely to get shot right off. I mean, if I was to be a man of fear, I fear the Patriot movement every time they talk about violent insurrection or somebody overthrowing. I mean, what are you replacing it with? These blackguards in the bar who go out and feed quarters into the phone to call and complain like it's going to make a difference? No, 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 no. Don't go that way. Don't even think that way. Go into the bathroom in the bar and look in the mirror. That's where the problem is. And that you can do something about. He goes on to say, I have no interest in making people feel comfortable. Hey, my kind of guy. Or safe. Or at ease in the nature of the task before us. I'm only interested in the truth. The truth is real, all capitals. He goes, real solution have already been offered to the liberty movement. For years, we've been talking about them, implementing them, and attempting to convince others to implement them. These solutions are not easy. They are not pleasant or quick. They will require much sacrifice and unimaginable suffering. There is no way around these tasks if we are to succeed and dismantle centralized totalitarianism in our lifetime. Well, actually, we can't really dismantle it. That sounds like kind of a violent term. You know, you don't have the right to take their government away from them. You know, the government of the people that they have created to rule over themselves. You don't have the right to tell Judea that they don't have a right to a king. They can certainly elect a king in Judea. They have every right to do that. Samuel warned them, but they could do that. They were told, you know, you need to, if you ever decide to have a king, a ruler, somebody who can exercise authority instead of operating an entire government by free will offerings and a network based on loving one another. If you ever want to do something other than that and have a ruler, put these five things in your constitution. And in the book Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions, we show you what those five things are, and you can read about them in Deuteronomy. And you don't have those in your constitution. I don't know a single country that has all five in their constitution. Not a single country. And there they are, all five, right there in the Bible, telling you what to write down and have read to your leader every day. It tells you. You don't even know what they are because you've been going to church to get your ears tickled. You don't go to church to have the truth that he wants to hear. He hasn't even probably heard this, but something's talking to this guy in his heart that's telling him, hey, you know, this is the problem. And it's us. Because we want other men to find the solution for us while we sit behind our computer screens or sit on our couch or sit on our derriere and have somebody else solve the problem. It's not going to work that way. I want to hear a little bit more noise out there. Let's hear from you. Join the Living Network. Join with us and other people. Form congregations of record. Start taking care of one another. In whatever extent you can do, baby steps. I understand. I don't want you to get out of the system and stop paying taxes. I'm not telling you to do that. And that's not what he's talking about, because his next line is this line of non-participation. And I don't know how many people that when they hear non-participation, they think starve the beast. No. That's not what he's talking about. And let's hear what he's talking about. We're not going to get to it all in this half. We won't probably get all in the next half. But we'll get to it eventually. He goes on to say, this is a simple concept that for some reason tends to confound people. If you march to the steps of the White House, motivated by, and it doesn't have to be the White House, it could be, you know, the palace, or, you know, I don't know, what do they call it in Australia? They have some outback name for their government building, so we're just using this symbolically. I don't want to pick on the poor White House. If you march to the step of the White House, I'm just reading his words here, motivated by a desire to educate others on the hidden dangers of our political situation, then this is all well and good. He doesn't have any objection to that. You know, and there's a lot of things, you know, people marching against GMOs. Good for you. I hope you meet lots of people that want to know the truth about other aspects of society as well. If you want to march on Washington for social reform, go right ahead and do that. Maybe you'll meet other people. But you've got to know where the real destination is, where you really want to go. He says, but if you march on the steps of the White House with the expectations that this gesture will somehow impress or frighten the military-industrial complex into forsaking its criminal ways and step down from power, then you have fallen into a delusional paradigm. So anyway, those are his words, but we're going to talk more about the solutions when we come back to Keys to the Kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me. And many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So everybody now is rushing to their computers to get online to find the livingnetwork.org, right? So that you can join with other people and start walking in the actual paths that Christ taught us, right? You're all going to try to form congregations of record that are connected to a network with all other congregations of record, so that you can actually start becoming the social welfare system of your society, like the early Christians did at Pentecost, right? You're going to start living by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, and stop using all the benefits, as many as you can afford, to wean yourself off of right now, by getting on the net and connecting with the Living Network. And once you connect, you can go down to your local public libraries and go over to your neighbor's house and get on their computer and connect with the Living Network. Find a contact minister of your choice. Call him up and see if you can't form a congregation of record that is formed by the elders of individual families who are actually seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to begin to provide the general welfare and personal welfare through faith, hope, and charity alone. And that word charity is also translated love, because you actually love your neighbor as yourself. And you want to gather together not to be saved, but to save others, because Christ is in you. And you want to keep the commandments of Christ. You don't want to covet your neighbor's goods anymore. You don't want to not keep the Sabbath anymore. You know now that the Sabbath is not just a day, but a way. It's a way where you earn the benefits that you have coming to you, but you still don't put anybody under your authority, forcing them to contribute to you. You let them decide in liberty. You let them have the higher right to choose to help you or not. And you pick ministers who are truly titular leaders and servants of your society, because you no longer want to be participants in the covetous societies that exercise authority one over the other and are not following the ways of Christ and are following the ways of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. You don't want to be a part of that. You want to participate in the ways of God. So in the last half hour, I talked about, and I was, at least I read, his reference to this military-industrial complex forsaking its criminal ways. There is corruption. There's no two ways about it. I know people who work in the military-industrial complex, and there's a lot of padding of bills and everything, but they're not all wicked, evil people. There are people actually good engineers and people actually trying to earn their way, and they're providing for defense of the country and they have all that. But that term, military-industrial complex, I think that was first coined by Eisenhower. I remember when he said that on the old black and white TVs we used to have in the old days. And he mentions this military-industrial complex. And he warns about the fact that it has too much power. And we know power corrupts. And so we know there's going to be criminal activity in that. And it's going to be really hard to root out. And you can work on trying to expose that, as well as the corruption in your local courts, because there's corruption there. My father was an attorney. He quit the law 3 times because of the fact that there was so much corruption in the court, so much good old boy back room dealing that ended up robbing people. And I've seen it myself where the lawyers are robbing clients left and right, and the judges are in on it. They actually go out and survey the property that they're going to get with the judge on the weekends in broad daylight. They're so bold, it wouldn't be hard to catch them and expose them. And you could certainly do that. But you have to get together and start being a network based on love. You could expose these guys, and you could do it in your spare time. What a wonderful church project to catch some of these guys robbing your neighbors on a local community basis. I know guys over in Eagle Point in Oregon who did that, actually exposed corruption. And where are the young guys coming along that's going to try to do that? But our goal is, you know, anytime there's a crime, we want to expose it, whether it's somebody getting mugged in the streets or somebody getting mugged in the courts. We would like to be there to help with that. We'd also like to be administering first aid. But the real key that you want to create and establish and cut so that you can unlock the key, the chains of your bondage, is that you have to start walking in the ways of Christ. Start being a real church that gathers together for the purposes of being health, education, and welfare for your society. Start taking care of one another in your society. And there's a huge need. We have hundreds of people in the network. They should be tithing to their ministers every week. And those ministers that they don't have anything to spend it on, we should get together and find projects that help out the deserving poor of society, because people are falling through the cracks. Like I told you at the beginning of this series, I was telling you about a guy who, hardworking guy, no saint by any means, he certainly had his problems, but a hardworking guy goes down, really needs help, just wants enough help to get him through the winter so he doesn't starve to death. You know, he's legitimately crippled. And he is just abused by the bureaucracy. While somebody else who is a lazy, good-for-nothing bum goes in there and is just showered with free checks and food and everything. Because the nature of the system caters to its own nature. And here comes a guy who is actually more in line with the king. Had kingdom tracks in his life. Lots of problems, but, you know, he was a working man. He was independent. He was self-reliant. And they don't like that. They smell that coming in the door. They don't like that kind of guy. He's not going to be treated well. The more you have that spirit, they're going to notice you. You don't even know you have it. But they will notice it. And they won't give you the help you want. They will be harder on you. And they won't even know they're doing it. You see, because they're actually serving Satan in the spiritual realm. And they're going to be drawn towards positions of tyranny. I had a dream the other night about that. And I see that that's what happens, is that your bureaucracy is sucking the demonic nature of mankind into its ranks, preparing you for a Holocaust like you've never imagined. And you need to start choosing sides by choosing righteousness in what you do. And then you'll be sucked in to the other camp, because there's a division coming between righteousness and unrighteousness. And most are choosing the unrighteous mammon. You have to be friends with that system and go into that system and find those people that are being overlooked and abused in that system. They really should be helped out, because they have always spent their life helping out others. I have someone in mind right now that I would like to help more, because all his life he has helped others. All his life he could have been on disability, and he never went on disability. He always carried his own weight, but now he can't. He needs help, and we should be helping him, and we are. Me and a few others. But the rest of you are sitting back and saying, oh, we want our rights back. Oh, we want our freedom back. Oh, we want to believe that we're Christians. Why don't you help out? I'd like to hear a little bit more noise back there. I'd like to hear a little bit more people actually doing what Christ said. Because you're all a part of the criminal complex if you're not a part of righteousness. Because that's your choice. It's not enough to say, I don't want to pay Caesar, I want to starve the beast. What do you want to do in service to Christ? And of course, Christ doesn't need your help. But he said, feed my sheep. So what do you want to do in service to his sheep? You don't even know where they're at. They're out there lost in the wilderness. Help us find them. Help us get on more radio shows. Help us get into more media. Help us get on some of the shows that are already on as guests to tell people what Romans 13 really says. Help them understand what it really meant to be a Jew in the days of Israel, a citizen of Judea who said, we have no king but Christ. We have no king but Christ. There is another king, one Jesus Christ. And they had a right to do that because Christ was king. And everybody who got the baptism of Christ looked to their benefits to the system that Christ created, which we call the church, but is not the church you have on your corner, but it's the church that actually is health, education, and welfare for the people. This means homeschooling, home health, home businesses, independent, and dependence upon one another, but only through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. If you are using a government-controlled communication medium like the internet to educate others while the system still exists, then this is practical, he says. But if you really believe that you are going to exploit that same network as an offensive tool to destroy Big Brother, you are living in techno-geek dreamland. And if you still think that the diseased political arena has any merit whatsoever, and that the system can be inculcated from the within, or that you can rewrite the rules on a whim, constitutional conventions, etc., he puts in parentheses, and have those rules followed at this point, I don't hold much hope for you. You're under that strong delusion he talks about. Now I want you to imagine just for a moment that the government does not exist. The internet does not exist. Corporate banking chains and department stores and grocery outlets do not exist. State law enforcement organizations do not exist. State-run schools do not exist. How would you go about living day by day without the bureaucracy, the welfare, the infrastructure, the safety nets? This is how all liberty movements activists are going to have to start thinking if they want to change anything. And this, of course, is what we're saying, is not to depend on those things. You know, out here in this community, their nearest police department is 75 miles away. We don't dial 911 a lot of times. They complain about it. We dial our neighbor. If there's an accident, we actually call up the EMT. We don't dial 911. We call up the EMT. We call up our neighbor. And our neighbor comes. Because our neighbor's, you know, short distance away, and somebody else is, you know, I called the cops once on a neighbor. Actually, wasn't on the neighbor. There were people in the neighbor's house that shouldn't be there. And the neighbor was gone out of town, and I knew it. And so I called up the police, and they didn't have anybody to send. And the police is 75 miles away, so they said I should call up the state troopers and see if they had anybody nearby. So I called them up. They're 120 miles away. And they didn't have anybody in our neighborhood. And I said, well, I'm not really calling up for help. I'm just calling up to let you know that I'm going over to get rid of those guys. And they said, okay, well, call us back when you're done. And so I went over and threw them out. That there was a teenage girl there, and these guys were in 20s and 21, and they were over there, and they had no business. I'd already chased them off once during the day, And they were back at midnight and in that house. So I went over to the house. We rented the house out for my brother. And I went over to the house and just came right in and got them, two of them there. And I chucked them out. And they left the house and got in the car and drove away in their underwear. I always thought that was interesting. I asked them after I threw out the second one, is there anything that they want in the house? Because I knew they were in their underwear. And they said no. And I thought, like, well, you didn't come in your underwear. Where's your pants? And I never did see their pants. I should have asked for them and everything. But I read the riot act to the individual. I don't know if they ever got their pants back, but they were out of there. And then I called the police back and told them what we had done. Because eventually my brother-in-law came over, and my son was sitting out in the yard in the dark by a tree with a shotgun just in case things got out of hand. But I was able to do the whole thing without using any armed confrontation, although I did have a flashlight with me. But they left. And I always remember one of them turned to me at the last when he was in the car about ready to back out, and he said, why don't you get a life? He said to me, I leaned over and stuck my face into his and said, I have a life, and you're in it. So anyway, they left. But we don't always call 911 out here because we just call our neighbors. And it doesn't always work. And we're actually, this community is falling more and more away from that. Cell phones are a part of that. And it's really hard to be a loving neighbor when most people are arrogant, self-righteous, backbiting individuals. And that's what society has created. Now, I believe the righteousness is still in us. It's down. It's just dormant because we don't exercise it. It's become like a rudimentary muscle that is just not doing its job. And just like the guy on welfare playing his Wii that's getting a check every month while he lives with his girlfriend who is also on welfare, and they're living at somebody else's house half the time because they can't afford to pay rent because they squander their welfare money, and people let them get away with it. They need to fast from, and somebody needs to help them fast. You need to fast from your dependence and start trying to be self-reliant, independent, and not independence, but independent, but not forget to come together to help others do the same. And you have to start going in and telling your pastors that you lied to me, that you're not telling me the truth. This is the truth. And if you don't know what it all is, go to our website and start studying the truth and find out how they misled you and dragged you away from the ways of Christ into the ways of Babylon. So anyway, this individual talks, the non-participation principle is best summarized like this, he says. When facing a corrupt system, provide for yourself and your community those necessities that the system cannot or will not provide. Become independent from established controlled paradigms. If you and your community do this, the system will have one or two choices. Admit that you do not need them anymore and fade into a fog of history, or reveal its tyrannical nature in full and attempt to force you back into dependence. And actually, that's actually a road that they're already following. You have to apply for their welfare number, their social security number, in order to get ID. And if you don't get that ID, you can't get on their planes. And even states that provide ID that don't comply with the new rules, like Montana, and I think there's like 14, 15, maybe more other states, maybe 20 some other states, that they've been informed that they're not going to accept Montana state ID driver's licenses to get on planes that are regulated by the federal government. Now, that may have a backlash when they actually try to enforce that. Depends on the character of the people in Montana. But that's the kind of thing that they're trying to force you to apply for benefits and waive your right to your labor and obtain a Social Security number, which is, of course, the mark of the beast. Now, I'm sure there are people out there hearing this and say, that's not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is a chip. No, the mark of the beast is a badge of servitude. And that's your badge of servitude. That's what the mark means. And you have it because you lack faith or lack knowledge or both. And you have it so that you can obtain benefits. And it's their mark. It's the, you know, all governments are related to the idea of beasts. All the governments that exercise authority. I mean, like, Christ preached a government that did not exercise authority one over the other. It had leaders in it. It had bureaucrats or ministers or clergy or clerks that helped take care of the needy of society and the needs of society in health, education, and welfare without exercising authority. But that was a government. The church is still defined as one form of government, and that form does not exercise authority one over the other. It operates by love and the perfect law of liberty. But it's a government. It doesn't rule over you. You can leave it and come and go, and it doesn't put you in debt. It doesn't make you a surety for debt. It depends completely on free will offerings, just like ancient Israel, because the church is the equivalent of ancient Israel. As Gibbon says, a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire, and the true church is a viable republic in the heart of the U.S. Empire, or the U.N. Empire, or the New World Order, or whatever you want to call it. And we tell you, you have to pay your tally of bricks if you're signed up and have an agreement to pay a tally of bricks in order to obtain benefits. But we're telling you, start weaning yourself off the benefits. Start homeschooling, home health, home education. Start taking care of the needy. Make that church service where you all go down and let's buy an apartment complex. And those people who are the deserving poor and need daily care, let's put them in that apartment complex. And then that apartment complex will belong to the church for the care of the people of the church and for the needy of the church. And you pay what you can pay. I mean, there's a lot of churches out there taking care of the elderly. But they are dependent upon the payments of the federal government and the state governments to finance their operations. We can't do that. And we don't need to do that. We could do this. I tell you, this is what the early church did. Early Christians did not participate in universal health care that came about under emperors, I believe, like Nerva. Didn't last very long. Now, they always had some kind of health care in Rome. Originally, it was based on free will offerings through their temples. And eventually, it became compelled offerings. They actually used sales tax and things like that to provide, like unemployment tax. I mean, you were taxed on the number of slaves that you had because occasionally the slaves, when they were discharged, fell on the care of the state. So the state started taxing people to do that. But you should be doing all that caring for one another yourself. And until you wean yourself off of the state and into righteousness, you will not be free. And this is what this guy is telling you. This is what Christ told you. And this is what we will show you how to do when you join the Living Network. Until then, I hope peace will be upon your house. And I hope that God will be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.